Welcome to Bengals Scribe Session, presented by JosephOtto.com and Inquirer Sports. Here, your Bengals beat writers Paul Daner Jr. and Richard Skinner escort you inside the walls of Paul Brown Stadium to hear the news, analysis, and observations unfolding within the team from those documenting it daily. All with the sidecar of snark and absurdity you've come to expect. Let's go. We're about to start a party in here. He's big strong, play guitar in here. Looks like we got a good crowd in here. Turn it up to 10 and get lively.
Ball's got out. It. Ball's the ball out. Is out. Ball's the Bengals out. Have scooped ball's it up. Out. Terrence yeah. Newman running back yeah. to the 30, yeah. 20, yeah. 10, yeah. 5. Touchdown.
Up in the air. Oh, AJ Green makes the catch.
Oh man!
A deflected ball winds up in the hands of AJ Green and the clock hits zero.
It's about to get rowdy here, but if you want to fight, get out of here. We about to tear off the roof in here. We about to knock something loose in here. I can't do my thing in here. I think I'm about to break a string in here.
All right. Welcome to the latest edition of Scribe Session. Paul Daner Jr., Richard Skinner. Hopefully the fan base.
You sound solemn.
Hopefully the fan base. We need to raise our people up.
Let's just do this. Let's have a moment of silence.
Moment of silence for what?
For the loss. Mm. Let everybody calm down. All right, now
we go. All right, now we can move forward.
Yes.
Move forward. So 52 weeks later, we sit in the same position that we sat in last year.
Well, I really wasn't sitting in this position
last
year.
That's true. Well, but I'm sitting in the same position. They're sitting in the same position behind us.
And the fans are sitting in the same position, which is prone or in some kind of, like, ball crying.
Mainly, the fetal tuck. Yeah, I mean, it's somewhere in a corner, definitely near the tissues. Hopefully, there's a lot of apologies probably made to the children for the language
no
that was
question.
Used during
no
the
question.
Game yesterday.
A lot of new HDTVs being purchased at some point today or
yeah,
tomorrow.
Tomorrow, yeah. Big run at H.H. Gregg. So here's the thing. Well, in case you don't know, we're recording our podcast. This is Monday. We're recording it right after the playoff loss, 26-10 in Indianapolis. We're also live doing a little video pod here for all of us. It's group therapy is what it is.
It's got to be.
We got to get through this together. Come on, big hug.
There you go.
Everybody come in for a hug.
That feel
oh,
good. That feel
yeah,
better.
Yeah.
That
we're,
feel better.
We're all in this together here. We're gonna work you through it. So I put out on Twitter for some questions. We'll get to your questions.
Oh, no.
I thought we were going to be calm. You're right. Okay. We'll look through them. We won't answer them all.
I just went through a bunch of them last night. There was a lot of rage.
Yes.
A lot of rage.
As I said when I led off the walkthrough this morning, all I could think of looking back on it was that line from George Costanza in Seinfeld. The sea was angry that day, my friends. Like an old man trying to send back soup at a deli.
I didn't get a chance to see walkthrough yet today.
Yes.
What song did we pick?
The song, the song of the game was just The Broken Record. I went with
that was
the,
good. I didn't know you did
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I went with the That's just good. The YouTube clip of the Broken Record scratching
I saw
over
you
and
searching
over again.
Last night. I didn't know what you were picking.
I was. There were a few different ones that I checked out, and I thought Don't Speak by No Doubt came into the
nice.
Equation. I know what you're saying. Just don't explain it, you know? I think Heartbreaker by Mariah Carey was thrown into the conversation. George Iloka tweeted out a song, actually.
Which was?
Not to me, personally.
Just
but
in general.
He tweeted out the lyrics. It was a Jay-Z song called History, all about never being able to find the victory that you want. And
wow.
He tweeted out all the lyrics. It was actually pretty in-depth.
Very deep.
So I gave him a shout-out. I actually made that on the Monday walkthrough. I actually made that the song.
That's a good call.
Shout-out to him. But, yeah, The Broken Record was a slam. The whole time I thought you couldn't top it.
No,
it just
can't.
Is what it is. You don't need a song for this. It's mind-numbing.
It really is uncanny and unbelievable when you cut to the chase.
It's historic.
It is. Well, it is historic.
It has never happened. For those of you that don't know this stat, which just means you haven't read the paper, because I think it's in like half the stories.
I think it is
written,
too, yes.
Is the first time in NFL history a team has lost 4 straight years their first playoff game.
So they never, got that going for them, which is
a
nice.
A bunch of teams had done it 3 times, but none had done it 4. It's unbelievable.
And the goofy part, too, is it's all been for different reasons and different degrees. Yeah, right. We can point to the second half and the second half collapses and the lack of ability to either make adjustments, whatever. I mean, the numbers are just staggering in the four playoff losses, being outscored 57-6 in the second half. Mm-hmm. But they each have different tones to them. You know, there was a missed pass from Andy to A.J. Green in loss number two to Houston. There was a drop from A.J. in the San Diego game that was a big one last year. There was this one where you were weaponless and you tried to smoke and mirror your way through it and you just kind of ran out of juice in that regard. You know, you go back to the first playoff game. There was the first time itis, for lack of a better term.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so new and fresh. Okay, you know.
They were rookies.
Yeah, they were rookies at this. But they've all had different tones to them. When you add them up, though, it's still 0-4 and 0-6 for the head coach.
And all outside of the second game in Houston, for the most part, non-competitive.
In the second half. I mean, they were at halftime of all
games. I mean, overall, though.
Yeah.
I mean, that's fine. A lot of people can play close for a half.
No, you're right. You're right.
I mean, they've been non-competitive.
Agreed.
In seasons where everybody has things that they're trying to overcome, at some point, you got to overcome some obstacles and win a tilt.
Yeah.
And be competitive. Make it close. At least have a bad call go against you, and that's why you lose, like Detroit. I mean, to just be thoroughly embarrassed over and over again is unbelievable.
All right, so then I'm going to throw the question out. So what change this?
There's only one common denominator, Skinny. Everybody knows.
There's two common denominators: the head coach and the quarterback.
The head coach and the quarterback. In the playoffs and in the NFL, you are as good as your coach and your quarterback are for the most part. Look at the teams that are still left. And go ahead and look at the teams that will be next.
And we went through
quarterbacks,
this yesterday.
Coaches.
It is staggering. I'll just to run through them very quickly. You have Super Bowl winner, and we'll go NFC, Super Bowl winner Russell Wilson, Super Bowl winner Aaron Rodgers. You have perennially very good Tony Romo, who maybe this is the year that he takes.
He's
taken him a long
year.
Time to get over the hump.
Yeah, had his best year this year.
Yeah, no question about it. And Carolina has Cam Newton, which is
They went against Ryan Lindley.
Correct, and he's
so there you go.
He's not a proven commodity as far as winning goes.
But they beat a team with a bad quarterback.
Right. So yeah. Right. Exactly. Then you go to the AFC. You have Super Bowl winner Peyton Manning. You have Super Bowl winner Tom Brady. You have Super Bowl winner Joe Flacco, and you have arguably, at one day, going to be Super Bowl winner Andrew Luck. But he's not won that yet. But still, he's in the pantheon of great quarterbacks in the game today. It's no clearer than that. The problem is we all jump to that make a change at quarterback because that's where we are right now.
Yeah.
But it's still, I go back, it's not that easy. It's easy to say that. It's easy to want that.
Where are you getting a better quarterback?
Where do you get someone? And that's where you're kind of stuck in that middle ground.
You're stuck because Andy Dalton does give you a chance. He's given you a chance four times.
He's given you four playoffs.
Absolutely. But you don't have – you don't have the guy that can elevate. What they needed yesterday was a guy that could elevate the guys around him like Andrew Luck
did. He absolutely did
that. But what they had yesterday was a guy who can manage to maybe not lose you the game.
Yeah.
And that's fine. That's the role that Hugh Jackson has asked him to play. But when you don't have the weapons around you in order to make that happen, he's not going to all of a sudden be great. He is who he's been who he has been for a long time.
Paul,
you know what Andy Dalton is.
Funny.
He's 60 plus games in.
Exactly. And I'm not a big passer rating guy, but it's still a good it's a good measuring stick. If you look, the consistency level of mid to high 80s, which means in some games during the year he's up, some games during the year he's down, he's got a little middle ground. I mean, the consistency factor, you're right. There's a downside to Andy or there's an upside to Andy. There just is right now. Mm-hmm. And I guess that's problematic, but the solve and the solution to that is very, very difficult.
It's very difficult. And you know, the way you look at it, and if you really look at the logistics of where you're at right now with the two questions that you all are pounding everyone over and that need to be figured out, is the coach and the quarterback, you're really approaching a 2015 that could kind of have a Last Supper feel to it.
It does, absolutely.
A swan song, last chance.
Give people the scenarios why, Paul.
Marvin Lewis in the last year, entering the last year of his contract. I think we're all under the feeling that he will be back.
Yes.
Because Mike is not going to make that. He's not going to make that change. I hate to break it to you. I know you all want it to happen. Personally, if it were me in that chair, and it is definitely not, I would make a change. I would have already probably. But that's fine.
It's not going to happen.
It doesn't really matter what we say. We could sit here and say a number of things. It doesn't really matter what we say. I mean, outside of an insane shocker, I don't see that happening. Andy Dalton now signed a contract extension for the season. It was essentially 2 years, $25 million. So next year will be the second year of that. After that, there is zero guaranteed money right. in Andy Dalton's contract. It was clear that this coaching staff believes that they have to minimize the role of Andy Dalton. Mm-hmm. Now, he may have played, he may have even played his best playoff game, if you can believe that.
Well, because he didn't have any turnovers, for goodness sakes.
Yeah, he finally didn't. But that he did honestly what they wanted him to do.
Right.
Don't turn the ball over. Make a few throws.
Make the safe play and took
but
a couple
didn't
shots
have
downfield.
They didn't have enough elsewhere right. to make it happen. They didn't flip field position. They didn't get enough turnovers. All these things. But he's entering the last year where after next year, you could walk away from Andy Dalton and not take any hits.
Right.
So you put those two things together, if you go a fifth time where you either you can't win a playoff game, I mean, beyond historic at that point.
Yes.
Then I think it all sets up where there are no certainties. That I think then it's easier to draw the line
because
in the sand
then there becomes a starting point again. There's a new coach. There's a new coach who's going to want his quarterback, who's going to want his assistants, who's going to want his guys, who's going to want his whatever style of play that is, whether he's offensive coach, defensive coach.
I think you
coach.
Still
so, yeah.
want continuity in that though. And here's the rub, where this is why last year I would have done it, is because you had Mike Zimmer in house.
You did. And did a very good job in Minnesota.
Did
a
very good
job
of
issues.
With a lot of issues turning them. I
mean, and a rookie quarterback.
And who knows? We can only speculate what Zimmer would have been around. But, I mean, you had that opportunity. Now you have a really good guy in Hugh Jackson that's going to be sought after a little bit.
Already going to interview in a couple
Already going to interview. I think he needed that win yesterday to get him over
Probably.
The hump to get a job. I do.
I think the interview process for him is a good chance to get back out there on that trail, for lack of a better term.
He is a hot name, understandably so. I mean, he's been successful as a head coach before and was into a bad situation in Oakland, and we don't need to get too much into that right now. But you have a guy in Hugh Jackson that, if he had the chance of leaving, could leave where he could come in as the replacement if you decided to move on, where you could have another year with Hugh Jackson, move on from Marvin, promote Hugh, and you keep a lot of your continuity,
right.
you keep a lot of the same philosophical thoughts that you had, but you get a change at the top. That could happen next year. This year, obviously, it's not going to be. So, I mean, I think that you could be looking at a scenario next year where maybe it finally is win one or it's over.
For everyone.
Mercifully. I mean, right. I mean, you're when you're talking about going on year 13 and 0-6, possibly 0-7 next year, and the numbers are what they are.
Yep.
If you are in it to be good, you have done that. If you are in it to be relevant, you have done that. If you are in it to win a championship, it ain't happening
guys. I agree with that, and that's where I know fans don't want to hear this morning. They don't want to hear it at all. But I think you're right. You take one last swing at the fence with this group.
Yeah. And I think it's a legitimate swing. I mean, the personnel.
As long as health. Yeah.
I mean, you have the health thing. They need to build their depth back up. That has been an under-discussed element of this season. Something that I talked about all year in the very beginning was their depth was not quite what it was the last few years, and it really exposed them late in the season in a couple of spots. Now, you could never have foreseen the kind of attrition they ended up with at receiver.
Yeah, that's crazy.
But when we talked about issues with depth, what did we say? A few guys got away they would have preferred didn't. Andrew Hawkins was among them. I'm not saying Andrew Hawkins would have fixed anything, but it's another guy.
Right.
It's another weapon, and they were missing weapons because a little bit of their depth, defensive line. We talked about, well, they kind of lost a guy here. They need to fill in the depth below it. It didn't fill in. And what happened? They weren't able to have enough depth on the line to keep their rotation going and get pressure.
But, Paul, they had drafted for that depth. Now, I'm going to give a little credit. They had foreseen a little bit of this.
Drafting for it and it happening was something else.
Agreed. Because Marcus Hunt has not panned out yet. Will Clark, they drafted high enough to where you think, all right, that guy could at least hopefully step in and give you some snaps. That never happened. So they've tried at that spot. They've to their credit, they've done a good job, it looks like, drafting for the cornerback position for the future, for the long term. That was all well and good. But, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. When you look at the core that returns, you could argue that again, it's argue, all 22 starters come back. You could argue that.
Yeah.
It may be a little bit of flippage here, but still, you could argue all 22 starters come back. with another draft class in thrown into the mix.
Including a lot of guys that went out injured, Marvin Jones,
right.
Tyler
Eifert,
you name
Perfect.
I mean, major players.
Right.
Probably if you ranked the roster last year, I'd have to go back and look at our roster ranking, but that's three of the top maybe seven or eight probably.
Right.
So the problem is when you don't have the quarterback that can elevate those around him.
They have to elevate him.
Yes, but more than that, you can't whiff on drafts.
Correct. Agreed.
Because you have to constantly be filling in. You can't miss. You can't miss on Marcus Hunt and Will Clark back-to-back years, or at least, I'm not saying that they are busts or you haven't hit on them yet, but you have to get production out of those guys.
And you got Marcus Hunt yesterday, came up with a sack. I don't know if that, you know, maybe it was a lucky play, maybe it was a blown blocking assignment for all I know, but yeah, I mean, next year's year three for him, and it's the light bulb either goes off or you have to look and say, all right, maybe this guy just isn't going to cut it in the league.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot of different reasons why this happened. Point being, I think it's a legitimate swing at the fence if they can have a little bit better luck health-wise. Everybody has injuries. Baltimore had 18 players on IR. Green Bay, remember the year they won the Super Bowl where almost their whole – they had like 15 players on IR or something like that? Teams, the good teams, overcome and find a way.
As long as the quarterback is the right quarterback and he stays healthy.
Right. That's very true. It all comes back to that eventually.
It does.
But those don't grow on trees.
Yeah.
There's 9 to 10 quarterbacks that you'd go to war with without other players having to elevate
And
them.
Paul, the sad part, arguably there are 10 to 12 who are simply horrible starting quarterbacks in this league. Not Andy Dolan. I mean, horrible starting quarterbacks in this league.
And franchises with no light at the end of the tunnel because
of
it.
Correct.
At least there's a light at this tunnel. I mean, it's just a playoff train, but at least there's a light.
And for whatever reason, sadly right now, colleges ain't developing very well because really the quarterbacks that you look at coming into this year's draft class.
The last couple.
Have just not been very good. So, I mean, if you're looking at the light and going, all right, well, draft a quarterback. That sounds great. Look, draft a quarterback to replace it. It sounds great and okay. Who?
They're not going to move up to get Marcus Mariota.
Right.
You know, I mean, any quarterback on the free agent market ain't better than Andy Dalton.
No.
Sadly.
No.
Because no one would let somebody, because he's the Dalton line.
Right.
Because no one would let somebody better than Andy Dalton go.
You go below
the Dalton line, and then there are lots of those guys.
Correct.
So you can't just say fix the quarterback. I think we'll find out more as this offseason unfolds. A lot will happen, you know. I mean, even later today we'll have a press conference with Marvin Lewis, who will – God knows what will happen there. I mean, it tends to be a fairly interesting press conference every year. At least it has the last 4 years in a row.
And that's the thing. I get the frustration of fans. I mean, I fully, fully appreciate it.
It should be there.
And that's palpable and understandable. But – Put all your anger aside and start to think logically when you want a new coach and a new regime and a new quarterback. Right now, as we sit here today, who?
Who?
Just give me the who. That's all I'm asking is give me a who. You can't do it. You can't do it.
Yeah. I can give you a new coach.
And please don't give me A.J. McCarron. Please, just don't give me that.
I answered that question.
I know
today.
You did.
I mean,
great. You know what? Hey, he may be the next Tom Brady. Deep round pick from a big school who just was overlooked for whatever. Maybe. But
overlooked.
You haven't seen it. I haven't seen it. They haven't seen it. Trust me.
No.
Eric Kresser.
He was a fifth-round quarterback.
Right. Jay Fiedler.
He was a fifth-round quarterback. Maybe in best-case scenario, you have Kyle Orton back there.
Correct.
In 6 years.
No, I mean, in best-case scenario, you have Tom Brady back there. But
that's a long time ago.
Absolutely. I mean,
Everyone brings that up. It was
I know.
A long time
exactly.
ago. A.J. McCarron, he definitely isn't competing for a starting job.
It's not an open
year,
competition in camp, so don't even think about that.
No, it's not. It's really not. He may have a competition for the second
spot. For the backup,
spot,
yeah.
You know, but I, you know, as far as – stop it. Okay, so – Okay, we've talked about where you go from here. As far as some of the, I guess the specifics about some of the players that you got to look at now. Let's get into some of that. Let's start with Jermaine Gresham.
Okay.
Who is a free agent, pretty much the most prominent free agent on the team, at least will be the most discussed. I don't see him coming back. I just don't see it. There's been so much, I don't know what the word would be for it, frustration within the coaching staff, particularly with his inability to play through pain. Cleveland, one. And
yesterday was ridiculous.
Yesterday, I mean, we don't know what kind of pain Jermaine Gresham was going through. I mean, he may have not been able to go out there and move a lick, which is possible. We saw him on Friday, and he looked rough.
Yeah.
And he maybe gave out there, gave it a shot, and just couldn't quite move. But it's not like this is the first time this has happened.
Yeah, that's the thing. For some other players, there might be a benefit of the doubt, but he's done this before where you have to argue, should you have gone or not? You're right. I watched him. Obviously, I tweeted out a bunch of stuff during pregame warm-up watching him. He moved. He didn't move gingerly. He just did not move well. We saw Jonathan Hayes kind of animatedly talking to him. I don't want to guess what he was saying to him, but I will tell you it was animated, whatever it was. Gresham looked frustrated after he ran a route and threw the ball down, like, I just can't do this, and kind of walked off the field at that point. I think I turned to you. I said, he ain't playing today. I can tell you that right now. There's no chance. I would have told you 6 to 8 weeks ago, before the Cleveland one and before this one, that if he went and tested the market and the finances weren't there, much like Ray Malaluga went and tested it, found out the money wasn't much better elsewhere, came back here, I would have said bring him back. Because still, as we sit here today, you don't have a durable tight end on the roster. I mean, we still don't know whether Tyler Eifert can get through a full season yet or not, because he has not done that in his 2 years as a pro. But now, I think the ties are cut. For whatever reason, you just have to say it's time to move on with him.
Yeah, you probably
unless
do.
Again, you somehow get him back at a very minuscule price when he tests the market and the market turns him down for whatever reason. The market may not turn him down. I mean, the guy is still a 50-plus catch tight end who can run block. I know he doesn't do what you thought he should do, what we all expected him to do as a first-round tight end, which was be a 9, 10, 12 touchdown reception, Rob Gronkowski kind of tight end. It just never became that. But, hey, the market for a 50, 60 catch tight end who can run block, that's a pretty effective guy.
You could get him to if you get him to a 2-year deal, somewhere in the mid-range for tight ends, sure, I would do it. But there's one thing that we hear from this coaching staff a lot. It's they want guys they can count on.
Right.
And it's one thing to have a guy that can do those things, but a guy who you never know when he might not be there for you, when you could go get another guy who maybe he's not quite as good. You could go find somebody who could be maybe kind of as good, and you know you could trust. I think that's more important to these guys than all the athletic ability in the world, which, by the way, it goes by the wayside when you have the problems that you have with Jermaine Gresham, penalties or fumbles, or, I mean, the fact that you still have the fact that you still have the fumbling issue at this point in this guy's career is astounding.
The flip side, though, you saw yesterday, Tyler Eifert again didn't play because he was hurt in game one. When Gresham went down, I mean, they have no reliable tight end. Ryan Hewitt can play there a little bit, but he was mostly repped most of the year at fullback and did a fine job at fullback, but he's not really a tight end per se. Maybe he develops into that. Maybe they have a belief. They work in there in OTAs. They go into to training camp, and they say, all right, this guy's going to work as much at tight end as he is at fullback. But as you sit here today without Jermaine Gresham on the roster, if you say let him go, let him walk, don't bring him back, there's really not a reliable tight end on this roster.
No, there really isn't. You want to take Twitter questions?
I love them.
Do you?
Yep.
We're going into the abyss.
Do I?
I don't know. We'll see.
Our Twitter guys are great.
We have a good. We have a great fun following. I think there's been less vitriol this year than in years past. From the people coming at me, talking to me. Personally.
You know what some of that is though. Some of that is the apathy that creeps in over.
Yeah. Maybe it is just apathy. I like this one. From our boy Luca P.
Okay.
At VLP31. Thank you, Luca P.
Sure, it's not Luca Brasi?
Huh?
Luca Brasi. Oh, P. Luca Brasi.
I was confused.
Swims with fishes.
What is the biggest disappointment of the year? He says, I'm going with the defensive line.
Absolutely. It's not even debatable. Yeah. That's perfect. Absolutely. I'm glad you brought that up because they, quite frankly, as a group, were abysmal.
It killed them.
It did, and it killed them. You know, we heard the whole apparently, from what I learned from this season, Paul, you know, I think I know the game pretty well. I don't know what, like, coaches know, but I think I know the game pretty well. You know the game pretty well. What I learned one thing this year, Paul, that apparently in this league, when you max protect with 7, you can't get home. You cannot.
It's impossible.
Apparently, you cannot sack the quarterback. I think it's a league rule.
You're not allowed.
That if they keep 7 in the block, that your defensive line cannot get to the quarterback. Is that? No. Did you learn that?
Or
did
I
you
learned know that. That? I did learn that because I was reminded of it every week when I ask why this team is dead last in the NFL in sacks per pass attempt.
Oh, we're getting some pressure on.
Apparently, other team's offensive coordinators are so scared of that inept pass rush
right.
that they are keeping everyone in.
Correct.
Because they don't want to.
Every time.
Because there is no way that you could let them go one-on-one with these guys that can't get to the quarterback.
Yeah. And let's go individually if we can. And we'll start with Carlos Dunlap, who just has all the physical skills known to mankind.
And he had an okay year.
And that's the problem.
He had a Carlos Dunlap year.
He has the physical skill set to be great.
Yeah.
To be a 14, 15 sack guy. To be great. And it's not there. It just is not. I like him. He's a good dude. He's an okay player. He doesn't hurt you. But does he really make plays that he is capable of making?
He makes some plays.
But some's not enough.
Some is not enough.
Skill set, Paul.
Well, not for that money.
Right, and not for that money. Exactly right.
I mean, when you're talking about a guy that's got a $40 million contract, they bet on him big time.
They did. They thought he was going to be a 14-sack guy.
Yeah, I mean, they bet on him to take that next thing. You could see the emergence. You saw the emergence of him off the field, and you saw some of it as kind of more of a leadership-type guy in the locker room, but you didn't see that drastic jump on the field. And I think the thought was, you saw it early, but then he kind of waned a bit late in the season.
And I'm sure some of it was, I can guarantee he was being double teamed a ton because the guy next to him, Geno Atkins or Domantas Peko or whichever hack was playing tackle, honestly didn't command a double team anymore. Geno this year, again, I'm going to give him the pass for the knee for 1 year, but quite frankly, Paul, he had a little bit of a rise in the middle of the year and then he dipped back again to the point where honestly he was completely irrelevant, completely.
Yes, I will say that. No, I mean, you can't argue with the numbers.
I'm not even going numbers. I'm just going by eyeball test from down to down.
Yeah. Well, my point, you can't argue with only three sacks.
Right,
And the disruptions were so far down and all that stuff. I think he had moments.
And controlling the run game.
I think he had moments. But you're right. He was never – I don't know that there's anything physically wrong with him anymore. I think – it had to have been some sort of mental.
And I understand. Again,
we're not blaming him.
My knee ripped up.
But that was a part of. I mean, he was a big part of the problem in there. We're talking possible on pace if that would have continued Hall of Fame type numbers. 18 and a half sacks in 25 games.
That's ends don't get that sometimes.
No,
let alone tackles.
Out of the middle is insane. And then to come up with three sacks and not being that guy that's constantly chasing the quarterback into other guys. I mean, when you look at those 3 years when the Bengals had 40-plus sacks in a row.
He's flushing people.
He was moving. It ruined everybody's game plan. And him not being as dominant that's something that I have to figure out. I mean, you have to assume next year he's going to get that figured out. But, man, the curse of the contract with these guys is unbelievable. Whoever they give it to, look, something seems to happen to. I mean, Burfict this year.
Yeah, I would have absolutely given Burfict and Geno money. I waver on Carlos just because the motor issues have always been there with him. I waver on that a little bit.
But they wanted him or Mike.
But I look at the physical skill set, and I think it makes all the sense in the world. But he's got to do it.
Yeah, he does have to do it. And then you go. Then you go to what we were talking about before with depth. Wallace Gilberry, nice player, nice role player.
Should be a backup player.
He should be in a rotation of some sort.
Yeah,
he was gassed. I mean, you're asking him to have
– He's not a big
snaps.
Guy.
It's not his role.
Right.
He's a very nice player, but he needs to be part of a rotation. I mean, that was what made him great was he was fantastic as fresh legs coming into that rotation behind Michael Johnson and moving into the inside when he needed to. Margus Hunt, Will Clark – Brandon Thompson, I thought, should have gotten way more snaps this year. I don't know why Domantas Peko got so much run over Brandon Thompson.
He was the one guy I was pleasantly surprised with.
They love Domantas.
Yeah.
They do. I don't see it. But
I don't either. Not anymore.
You know, I'm not an expert on film and all that. Right. I mean, they're coaches. We do our best. But I saw a guy making plays in Brandon Thompson, and I saw him playing significantly less than Domantas Peko. I think that's something going forward.
But you look, honestly, 1 through 8 in the rotation, that was by far not even close, as the question was asked.
The biggest disappointment.
Not even close.
Yeah, I mean, if you make arguments for other positions, linebacker, but not their fault.
Yeah, injuries.
Injuries, you could probably say.
And once they got kind of settled in with the Maluga Ray, Lemur group, I thought they played pretty well as a group.
Yeah, you're right. Once they got settled in, you're right. It was the lack of pressure and – from the defensive line
no
that
question.
Really changed the game. let's see, what else do we want
Well,
to
before
do
you get to that question, I want to go to a flip side of that too, Paul.
Yeah.
You know, one thing we agree on, the secondary played pretty well all season long.
Mm-hmm.
And that then begs the question, and I know you asked it last week of Paul Gunther, why not blitz more? And Paul talked about, well, if you blitz and don't get home, it's like banging your head against the wall. And I agree with him because we've mm-hmm. seen them blitz this year. And for whatever reason, and you saw it a couple times yesterday, one time Ray Maluga literally ran into his own defensive lineman's butt as he tried to blitz.
Yeah.
They don't do a very good job of finding lanes. And maybe this was just a team that it looks and you say, well, you can't get home with four, you got to blitz. Maybe just a group that doesn't blitz very well.
The safeties have had some success.
Reggie's been pretty good at it.
I mean, even when they bring corners, but yeah, I mean, the blitzes haven't necessarily always found their way to the quarterback. It's not, again, it's another one of those things. It's just not that easy. So let's how do we do this? Let me flip side the what was the biggest pleasant surprise group position group of the year for you?
That's a good one. It's not really the group. I guess what Jeremy Hill was able to do.
I would say the running back position by the end.
I thought they got into a nice rhythm of what Jeremy was and what Gio should be moving forward. And as long as Gio embraces that, accepts that, it seems like he and Jeremy get along, and that's a good thing. As long as he embraces that moving into next year to know that, hey, dude, we're not giving you the ball 15 to 18 times like you thought you were going to get. If he embraces that role, it's a 2,500-yard from scrimmage group, and you give me that from the running back position, that's huge.
I'd be really interested to see what that running game does next year with that, the setup of Hill and Bernard like they were the last, you know, whatever, three, four weeks of the season. What that looks like over the course of a full year. I mean, you could be talking about some
and especially
really
with all the weapons
stuff.
Back around it too.
Right.
Think about that. I mean, that's the other part to that.
That is the thing. I mean, when you think about if they really were to play with all of those pieces, I mean, it can be a pretty scary
no question
offense. There's no doubt about it. And which goes back to the they should take another swing with this group.
Yep.
Conversation. But yeah, I think another one. I can make an argument for the DBs, and I know that towards the end of the season, they took some hits and had a few down games. The emergence of Dre Kirkpatrick, I think the little bit you saw from Darquez Denard you liked.
And I'll be honest, and the continuing improvement, actually, of Adam Jones.
Yes.
And remember, when they got Adam Jones here, it wasn't to play corner. It was really to return kicks. It was an afterthought for him to play corner. And, boy, he's developed into a really—
They were just hoping
he
wouldn't get arrested.
Right. He has developed into a really, really,
really
good
player.
I mean,
really
he's physical, doesn't get beat deep, tackles, knocks balls away.
He had a few rough moments yesterday.
A couple.
But, you know, for the most part, he played really, really well. And we talked about him in the conversation as a team MVP.
Absolutely.
When you look at his overall impact in returns and playing DB. I mean, he pretty much ascended to almost the top corner position by the end of the year. I mean, Leon Hall had a rough year at times. Terrence Newman had struggles late in the season due to illness, injury, whatever. But Terrence Newman was really good early.
Does Terrence Newman retire?
I think Terrence Newman could still play.
It was late in the year. He got a little nicked up and banged up. And it's that stage where...
You know what? I think he proved he can still play this year. You've seen the corners in this league.
I'm just asking you the question.
No, I know. I'm saying, look at the corners in this league and tell me Terrence Newman can't play
absolutely.
In this league.
He absolutely
can. If he wants
play.
To play, he can. I mean, the worst of the
five corners, in my opinion, during the year was Leon Hall. And we didn't see enough of Denard. So I won't even throw.
We don't know.
The four corners was Leon Hall. And, you know, from what he's had to come back from, I guess that's understandable.
Yeah. I mean, he's another one of those guys in the Geno category that you hope that next year you see him a year off of the second Achilles.
Right.
You hope that it wasn't, this is the guy he is now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's possible.
But if he is, Paul, he still is a serviceable guy.
Yeah.
And unfortunately for him, one of the younger guys steps ahead of him into a starting role. And that's just the way the game's played.
I mean, for me, I would re-sign Terrence Newman is what I would do. I don't know that he would be my starter. He'd be in a competition.
Right.
This guy is no one. Helps those young guys more than Terrence.
And they talk about it openly.
He loves doing it, and he's always working with them. He's smart. He's great in the locker room. He's a good player.
They put him next to Vontaze Burfict in the locker room for a reason. They did.
Yeah. And they need depth. I mean, they need depth at that. Marvin loves depth at that position. I don't see If you can get one or two more years, maybe Terrence be asking for two.
Right.
Yeah, fine.
Okay.
Yeah. One or two more years, and maybe he's your fourth corner.
I'm okay with that.
That's great.
I'm fine with that. Absolutely.
Now, if he's willing to accept that, maybe he thinks he can go somewhere else and start, and that'd be up to him. Maybe he goes to Minnesota.
Yeah.
You know, who knows? Zim will always love Terrence Newman. But I would bring Terrence Newman back, and he wouldn't start. I would have my three would probably be Jones, Denard, and Kirkpatrick, yeah. With Leon seeing how he's doing
right.
in there. But I mean, and that's why I think it was a pleasant surprise the DBs this year.
Okay.
I think people were worried about them getting older and worried about Drake or Patrick not being good.
Right.
And I think you have a much better feeling about
the jury's
that
still out
now.
On Denard because we didn't see enough. But just from hearing everybody from players to coaches. Really rave about him. It wasn't a matter of Darqueus Denard didn't get on the field because he wasn't good enough. Some of it was injury related.
He played 15 snaps yesterday.
Right,
too.
And some of it was because the guys in front of him are veteran and very good.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, absolutely. So I think that's that. Let's let me jump back on and grab another. People are sending me Spanish Twitter questions.
I like that.
I took 4 years of Spanish in high school.
So did I. I took three years of college.
Yep, I went on a mission trip even to Mexico where I had to use it solely to get by.
I can't
and
give
I,
you a
in
sentence.
College, I tested in the Spanish one. I'm not good at it. But I don't know what I tipos que no nos lo quitamos ni con agua caliente.
Hey, watch your mouth. Watch your mouth.
Hot water. I see hot water. I know that's hot water.
Is somebody in hot water?
Someone's in hot water for quitting, I think. A quitamos. A lo quitamos.
Would that be Jermaine?
I don't know. I don't know. LosBengals.com got us started when I have three Spanish Twitter questions.
Okay.
¿Por qué solo sirve para ST?
Not even sure.
Don't know. I'm sorry. I can't. Ooh. C. Tate. Brandon Tate, maybe. Is this a Brandon Tate
yes,
question?
Yes, Tate.
C. Tate le reniven entonces tendrían pianito. He plays the piano with Pac-Man. Cortara Pac-Man. Is Brandon Tate going to play the piano with Pac-Man?
If he can, I guess he will.
If he can. I feel like they'd be a good duet.
I've never seen him do it, you know, but sounds good to me.
It's definitely possible.
Pac-Man likes to sing.
So let me go back through some more questions.
Find an English question for me.
We're going to go find. Okay. Let's talk about A.J. Green. So we've got A.J. Green is, they obviously exercised his option last year, so he's under contract this year is the fifth year of his rookie deal. After that, then you could franchise him. So the 2016 season, you could franchise him. Technically, you could franchise him for the 2017
season.
Yeah,
you have him
for
technically three more
years.
You
have him for 3 years under team control if you would like. I think that they would like to get a deal done with him now.
All right, but I'm going to – we talked about this on the car ride back last night. I got kind of heated when we talked about
it this. It did.
Whose kind of money does he get?
Because
you know what, you brought it up. Whose money does he ask for?
If you're his agent, you have to start with Calvin Johnson
okay.
money.
Because you're AJ Calvin Green. Johnson.
And you just learned, as this team all just said, that he was basically the reason that they couldn't win a playoff game because he wasn't out there.
All great points. All great points.
That's what you hang out there over their head. And I can tell you right now, these guys in the offices behind us, are not going to be real interested in hearing that. They don't think that a receiver is worth that kind of money. I don't think they're going to pay him Mike Wallace money, which is it's just huge money.
Stupid deal.
But I mean, if they can find some sort of middle ground. I mean, this is if you're AJ Green and if you're AJ Green's agent, this is your deal. This is it. This is your life.
You're right.
This is your one life contract. So, because by the time it's over, because it'll be a 4 or 5 year deal, by the time it's over, he'll be in his 30s. And you know how that goes for receivers.
Right.
So, not that he wouldn't still be good, but he's not going to get anywhere near. This is it. This is the one where he has all the leverage, and he's going to fight for every dime that he can get. And until then, if the Bengals balk on that, he could play out this next year under this contract, then they could franchise. And then, at that point, the Bengals say, maybe they learn more. Maybe he gets hurt. Maybe they do need to pay him at that point.
The one thing that I think you saw this year is, you know, you've got some hits now on him over the years. And the durability question will, right, wrong, or indifferent, come into play.
Right.
You had turf toe. You had the arm. You had the concussion. When you start getting that as wide receivers, the next big hit you take to the head leads to probably concussion number two. I mean, that stuff starts to add up, and that is where do you want to be sucked into a long-term deal with a guy that, you know, you're going to target in a healthy year. You're targeting him 100 plus times. He's going to take some hits. Are you willing to pay for that? I'm not sure I would. If I got him for three more years under my control, I put the offer on the table. He balks at it. I simply drag this out as long as I possibly can. You have a couple more drafts in the future, especially if you're looking at next year as the Last Supper year. The line of demarcation is at the end of the 2015 season. New head coach, new quarterback, new everything, and you start kind of over again. It's the 2016 reboot.
Boy, that's a scary thought. It's a scary thought of rebooting a lot of these talented players. But, I think for the most part, Mike Brown and these guys will sit back and kick back during these negotiations. They will attempt to – they will negotiate. They will try to get a long-term deal done. But they will kick back and say, you know what, we kind of
– we own you.
We can let you play this year out. We can tag you after that if we want to. And we'll sit back and until you come to our number, that's the way we're going to stand.
Right.
And I think they end up – I mean, they probably end up in impasse at that point. And he probably plays out the year. I don't know. This is something that we'll get more into when you get to, you know, the season. When you start to get into next August, these things typically get done during camp. That's when, you know, Gino and Dalton's was done at that point. I mean, that's more when you'll talk about that. But, I mean, it's something that's going to have to be discussed for sure. How about this? Is this from Simon Hunter? Quality follower. Lots of good questions from Simon all the time. Says, is this the worst team in the 4 years of the reboot to make the playoffs?
Yes and no. Yes, on the front of this team probably had to scratch just as much as anybody getting the playoffs. And injuries, I think, caused some of that. I think the team that started the season healthy was not. I think the team as it was that played yesterday, absolutely was.
I think they were better than the 11 team the first year.
I argued this in the car last night, Paul, and you laughed at me, and that's fine. I'm going to bring it up again. You could argue in the AFC, Marvin Lewis might be a candidate for Coach of the Year based on all the stuff that they had to go through from an injury standpoint.
I just feel like there's this two new coordinators, I get you. Okay, injuries, sure. That's fine. And they didn't win a division. They blew some games they should have won.
Agreed.
I think Marvin did an okay job. That's not really – the regular season Marvin is not really a debate. And, I mean, certainly I would give it to Belichick over him. I would give it to Tomlin over him. I would give it to –
who already have Super Bowl-winning quarterbacks.
It's fine.
Both of them.
It's not like the Bengals were the only team that had injuries.
I agree with that.
Whole injury thing just bugs me. I know. I get it. Injuries, they lost Vontaze Burfict. Yep, they had to play some games without AJ Green.
Okay,
the
only thing I'm going to
Marvin Jones. I get it.
The only thing I'm going to disagree with you on though is, you played the majority of your season without a Pro Bowl. You're really what would be your only Pro Bowl. Well, Geno when he's healthy is a Pro Bowl caliber player. But Geno was not fully healthy this year. Really, a Pro Bowl caliber player. Your only Pro Bowl caliber defender did not play for the majority of the year in Vontaze Burfict. You played the playoff game without a Pro Bowl, a four-time Pro Bowl wide receiver. You played without the guy the whole season long that was your number two wide receiver last season. You played the season all season long with the guy that was projected to be your number one receiving tight end all season long. Take that away. When Peyton Manning lost Julius Thomas for a period of time, they struggled. Just losing Julius Thomas. Then Demaryius was nicked up a little bit. They struggled big time in that circumstance. You start plucking big-time weapons away. It's not like Baltimore secondary, and you bring it up, and you're right. I mean, they've got Jim Johnson off the street of somewhere in Arlington, Virginia, to come play cornerback for them. But it's not like they were replacing Pro Bowl-caliber guys in that secondary.
Yeah, I hear you. I just feel like, and you're right. And the injuries are it's all legit. And this maybe year was a little bit. What did we talk about last year that we were so amazed with Mike Zimmer? All these guys kept going down, and there were no excuses. They kept playing well. They kept getting better. It was what happened.
Did Vontaze Burfict go down?
Geno Atkins went down. Leon Hall went down. Those were. Two of your top three players on defense last year.
But you had already drafted, in theory, to start to replace either Leon Hall. You'd already drafted a first
round corner.
Leon Hall
was playing great.
He was.
Geno Atkins was playing great.
But you had drafted a first round guy already to push either one or both of those guys. You had already done that. So you had a first round corner to at least plug in. You didn't take somebody off the street to plug him in. You had a first round corner that you obviously believed in. And he played pretty well when they plugged him in.
I mean, you had a. I'm just saying, you had a lot of guys that went down. Okay, you had a lot of guys that went down last year, and they kept playing. They kept getting it done. They were the third best defense in football. I mean, everyone assumed that defense was done when you plucked their two Pro Bowl level players, two of their three. What if you count
perfect
amongst
right,
that
right.
Out off their team? But they didn't. They were fine. I point to stuff like that and say sometimes you've got to be good in spite of injuries. Everybody in the league has to do that. And I know, I hear it. I know there were a lot. And they were big players, and you didn't have as good a depth behind them. But that's part of the problem,
Paul,
too.
Paul, you saw yesterday at the receiver position.
That was bad.
Those guys can't get open. Kobe Hamilton can do one
thing. Kobe Hamilton took 28 snaps
yesterday. He runs down the field, and he drops the ball. And unfortunately for him, he didn't get a chance to drop one yesterday.
Yeah.
Greg Little can't do anything. Honestly, he's a physical specimen that just it boggles my mind how he can't do a thing. He can't get open. He tried to run a deep route. He didn't have enough speed to get by anybody. Brandon Tate has always been just a guy. I mean, those were three of your guys yesterday.
I understand. I'm yesterday,
and
but we're in the conversation. We are in the conversation about Coach of the Year. I'm not talking about yesterday.
Okay, and you still with all these pieces missing, still
you're making this a regular season award that you're discussing.
Well,
these pieces weren't
degree.
All, but these pieces weren't all missing during the regular season.
Marvin Jones was. Tyler Eifert was.
Fine. You had
AJ
you
Green
had,
was for a chunk.
For some, he had
five games worth.
You had him for 11.
Okay, well.
You had him for 11 games.
Right, so then you need to go 11-0 with him. And they basically, in theory, I guess, they got 10 wins.
They won
so.
Plenty of games without A.J.
They won
Green
a couple,
well.
Yes. They did and, win a couple.
That's
they
fine.
Also got shut out for the
I'm
first
not giving
time
them,
in years.
I'm not giving them Coach of the Year.
All right.
I'm not
you don't have to. We argued this last night.
Yeah, you're right. We're just going to have to agree to disagree.
I said he can be in the discussion. I didn't say I'd give it to him, but he's in the discussion.
He's in the discussion. All right, so well, let's see. Where else do we go with this?
Back to injuries for a second. I'm going to ask you something. Would the Arizona Cardinals have been better off with Carson Palmer playing or Ryan Lindley playing?
Quarterback's different.
Okay, and that's fair. I mean,
quarterback's different.
You can't count
quarterback
that's
injury.
Fair.
That's obviously
right,
a game
that's
changer.
Fair. That's fair.
Other positions.
Okay.
And you can argue that the lack of weapons is far more relevant with this team because of their quarterback situation.
Fair enough.
But you put yourself in that spot by not having a great quarterback, and it's another big part of the problem
right.
why there's a ceiling,
right.
why there has been a ceiling. What do you want to know from Marvin Lewis? What do you want to know?
You know, I thought about that a lot today because we're going down there to talk to him here in a couple hours. I want to know how it changes. I don't want to know that I'm going to take another swing at it or what he said yesterday. The only way I know is to keep working. I do get some of that. I mean, because that is really all you can do, all you can control.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to do something different, whether it's get on this guy or that guy, or whether it's to hug this guy around the neck or that guy. There's something has to be done differently. You can't keep doing whatever you're doing the same way. I don't know what that is because I'm not behind the scenes. You know, we're around it enough to know that he's got a tight he's tight. Let's just say it that way. Maybe that permeates across the board in key situations that it goes to his coordinators, who it makes them uptight to maybe not call the game the way they'd really like to call it. Maybe it trickles down to players who don't play the way maybe they'd like to play because of it. Whatever that is, what will you change that you can control? What will you change?
Yeah.
What do you want to know?
I want to know if he would walk away.
Really?
Not this year. But, I mean, would he ever consider walking away and saying,
I did everything I could.
I did everything I could. I went 0 for 6, 0 for 7, 0 for 8, whatever point he's – if he would ever consider just saying, you know what, I'm going to go somewhere. I'm going to try it somewhere else. I obviously can't get it done. I wonder if you – I mean, that's a tough admission for a coach to make, and I don't know that he would do it. And I'm not saying he would, but I want to know if he would just walk away.
I don't think any coach would ever walk away. I mean, you see Tom Coughlin's going through a horrible time the last few years in New York. And, you know, the whole process of do you fire him? I mean, he's obviously got equity in the bank with two Super Bowls, and that's a big difference, no question. but he's chosen. I'm not walking away. He wants to fight his way through it. I think most coaches, they're competitors.
Yeah.
I think they'll stay and fight until somebody tells them, see you later.
Right.
Not all, but most.
Particularly in jobs that are so well paid.
Yeah, right. I mean, you're not going to find another $4.5 million job out
no.
there. Now, he can go be a head coach somewhere else and maybe make yeah. that kind of money, but...
The question is, could he really go be a head coach somewhere else? And that's probably what he would eventually have to.
No, he could. Would you get in a situation right now as we sit here? If he walked away at the end of, let's just say he walks away. He walks in there today and says, I'm done. And he decides he's going to look at the Buffalo job or the Chicago job. Is there really a better situation that is going to be open out there than what he's got right now?
No, these are his guys.
Right.
It's his team.
With a winning team, with a playoff caliber
team. His culture. He has his say in the players. He has, I mean, you know, he's got all that. So you're right. I mean, I don't think – I'm not saying he would, but I'd be curious to think if you'd be open to the possibility
the Frisco
of going
would,
somewhere
the Frisco,
else.
The Frisco job would be the one.
If he had another – I mean, if he had another job, he might consider it.
Yeah, but it would have to be a better – I would
have to be a head coach job. I don't think he'd be a coordinator.
And if I was him, it would have to be a better situation than the one I'm in. And it's just – the Frisco job might be the only one that you can say is an arguably a better situation. When that roster's healthy, that's a pretty good roster.
Yeah. You know what? It's interesting. I don't.
And then
I
he gets to deal with Colin Dalton or Andy Kaepernick, whatever.
Yeah, whichever one. I think he, you know, would love to have a job where he could have a quarterback that could help carry him. You know,
most of those are taken, my friend.
They are.
Most of those jobs.
Those coaches
are
end up
taken.
Looking pretty good. Yeah, yep. they really are. What else we got? We got to go to Twitter here.
Yep.
Again,
if you got one.
Let's see what else we do. Let's go. I do love this from my boy Matt Brew. Would Andy Dalton be more clutch if he grew a swag neckbeard and insisted on folks referring to him as Andrew? Yes.
Maybe that's the change it has to take place.
Neckbeard. Full neckbeard next year. That's the neckbeard is now retired. I mean, Orton is gone. So I think he goes full ginger neckbeard.
And just can't be a worse look.
We've never seen Andy attempt to have facial hair. I think this is the change.
Come in with a pipe as well.
Yes. I think he goes full on Charlie Whitehurst or full on Mettenberger.
Oh boy.
That's what I say. He needs to go with some serious.
No, not for him. That's just that look for him just isn't going to work. Sorry. Good question though.
I would like to see it. I mean,
we're asking for changes, right? Maybe that's the change.
That's the change. Facial hair is the change. Let's see. Gino, yeah, lots of questions about Gino.
The only thing I go back to Gino is I won't say that he's done, but I even another year removed, I can't see him ever getting back to that level that he was at, Paul. And that's the
point. You know, I could see
it. That level was just a huge level.
If you go by the it takes a year to get back thing, I saw
that little nudge about midseason where I thought, okay, turning the corner. And then again, maybe he ran out of gas. Maybe the knee just isn't strong enough because it kind of wore down to some degree. Maybe he ended up playing, you know, we talk about a rotation. Maybe he ended up playing more snaps than they really anticipated that he should play or needed to play.
Mm-hmm.
Because out of desperation, they had to play him because there was nobody better.
Yeah, yeah. You mean?
I mean, no offense, Devin still simply can't play. And that was proven throughout the season. If you were going to go with the four-tackle rotation, you really never had that. I mean, Devin was inactive for, the last four or five football games?
Right.
And it really became a three-tackle rotation. It really became a two-tackle where they'd have Thompson and Pecco pretty much flip-flopping.
Yeah, yeah, no, you're right. I mean, I think... Unfortunately, I think Devin Still's days are numbered here. You know what? We started this earlier and got away from it. I want to go down the list of free agents again.
Yeah.
We only got to Jermaine and we discussed AJ. He's not a free agent, but we discussed his status. Clint Bowling is one of your top guys. I think it'll be an easy sign. I think he'll come. You're willing to pay him.
Yeah.
He's versatile. He's in a huge piece for you in there as a starter. He's done a good job as a starter. He's been able to he flex out the tackle, for God's sakes. He could play any position, and he's entering his prime. He's deserving.
And especially with what they started to do with Jeremy Hill, where they're pulling a lot of the backside guys. I mean, either he or Zeitler are really, really athletic pulling guards. I mean, they're both very good at that. And so, you know, if you're going to continue to do that with Jeremy Hill moving forward, and I think you will because that seemed to be a nice bread-and-butter play.
Yeah.
And next year, if it's a bread-and-butter Stillwater play against an unstacked box, holy cow. If Aaron Zeitler and Clint Bowling are getting the second levels throwing blocks, you're going to pop some big gains out of that.
Yeah, yeah. Let's see. Kevin Brock, he probably won't be back. I mean, he basically was in there as a run blocking
guy. So that gives him a chance to be on a 15th team or 14th?
14th. Let's see. He was it six teams? I love we had the our path to the Bengals segment that we do.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. That we
Not
do
just it, the NFL to the Bengals.
To the Bengals. How do you get
his
here?
Path is.
Yeah, his path is circuitous. it was, you know, usually it's a guy who's got an interesting college story or high school story. But his is interesting in that he was on six teams before he ever even played a game. He was on everybody's practice squad,
that
moved
tells
around.
Me, you know, that tells me, good guy, and he seems to be a good guy. Never really, you know what? He's one guy I can tell you I did not talk to all year.
Didn't talk to you
did
all
you?
Year.
Did you chance to chat him up?
I talked to him once.
Okay, I didn't talk
I
to did him all year.
I think I talked to him in camp.
But seemed like a nice enough guy.
Yeah. He'd
say hi and nod his head and all that stuff. All right, but seems like he's probably a nice guy. Doesn't cause problems in the meeting room, and he just is a physical specimen that you look at and you go, oh, he could be a good tight end. No, he can't.
No, he can block a guy.
He can block a guy.
He can block a guy. But
go block a guy 15 times and go take a shower.
Take a shower. That's right. That's the line. Jason Campbell is a free agent.
Yep.
He could come back as the backup. They could give him another one-year deal.
I would agree with you.
And have him compete with McCarron. And then if McCarron. Beats him, send him
exactly,
back.
And that's a perfect scenario. And again, I think this is a guy that is a perfect backup. I think he accepted the role, and as much as you can. I mean, I think everybody still wants to be a starter deep down, but I think he accepted the role. He and Andy seemed to get along, so I'm guessing in meeting rooms they were pretty good. And while he can't win you eight games if Andy Dalton gets hurt, he could come in maybe if you're up 17-6 in the second half of a game and help you hang on.
Yep, Chris Lewis Harris. Who's just a guy. He's
honestly
work hard guy. I applaud him for getting what he's got. I mean, he's been on this team for a couple of years now.
Is.
Just as an extra guy. You got to applaud him.
Can't play. And let me tell you, the last two weeks, he got blocked so badly on that punt return of Antonio Brown's.
Right.
And I don't know if you saw it yesterday, but on a punt return where Josh Cribbs almost broke it, he started one way, came back the other. He got blocked not once, but twice. Got knocked to the ground once, got up, got knocked to the ground again. I mean, honestly, can't play. Good luck to you, son.
Here's maybe one of the most interesting names. Ray Maluga, who's a free agent, who before this season, everyone would have said it's going to be goodbye.
I would have been in that group.
Everyone would have thought that. He ended up being a centerpiece of this defense's resurgence.
Absolutely.
Late in the season, and his ability to stop the run was huge. And who knows how much of a role that played when he was out in the second half of yesterday's game.
Yeah.
They were able to run the ball a little bit. I mean, it wasn't a big deal,
right.
But, you know, still. But down the stretch, I mean, he was a huge part, and he was praised like he's never been praised.
I thought he was great.
Arguably the best year he's had maybe since his rookie year,
yep.
Maybe better than that. So now, I mean, you've got to say, what are you willing to do? He earned himself some money at the very least this year.
The issue, though, is hamstring problem once, hamstring problem twice,
mm-hmm.
hamstring problem a third time. Does it become lingering? Was it just an in-season thing that just never got itself right?
He has been injury prone.
Yeah.
I mean, he plays very physical type of football, and that's what happens.
I think you go back to, as long as it's your price, I bring him back, absolutely. I mean, if you tell me
whatever. I think they'd like to.
I would, because you don't have a ready-made replacement. Vinny Ray.
What was proven how.
He cannot play middle linebacker consistently in this league. On the outside, when he filled in for Burfict, again, when they got that linebacking core settled, Vinny Ray was fabulous on the outside. But those outside spots, at least the one he played, is filled by Vontaze Burfict. Could you move Burfict into the middle?
Yeah, you could, but I also think the thought is he's better. Why mess with where he's so good at?
I agree. I'm up with you. I'm just asking the question. I mean, because again, it goes back to, if you want to let Ray walk, that's one thing. Who's your replacement?
I mean, you could draft a guy. You can find linebackers in the draft, in the back side of the draft. Linebackers are not as.
Play in the middle in this league?
Linebackers are not. I mean, look at some of the linebackers that were drafted in the mid rounds last year. Guys like Chris Borland, who were up for rookie of the year. Preston Brown, who was a leading tackler.
But here's what that is right there.
Northwest.
That is a roll of the dice that you got it right when you took that guy.
Yeah, well, if you're going to take guy, you're going to take guy you believe in. I mean, I'm just saying, I think you can find linebackers in the backside of a draft more than other positions.
I think you get lucky sometimes at the back end of the draft in that regard.
Maybe. I can tell you, these guys probably would feel like they're not. It wouldn't be an issue of getting lucky. They'd be able to get the guy they wanted. Get one.
I would not break the bank for Ray Malouk. I would tell you that. As long as it's your price, but if you're just talking from a performance standpoint, I bring him back.
Yeah, aging linebackers with hamstring problems concern you.
That is a concern. I agree.
That's all. But you know, you're right. I think at the end of the day, my gut says they come to an agreement.
I agree with that.
Because I just think he's a better fit here than with other teams. I don't know that he's going to be as valued there as he is here. They really love him.
Whatever 3-4 team, he cannot be a 3-4 inside guy. I mean, no. he's a absolute 4-3 middle linebacker who comes out on pass downs.
Yes. That's exactly who he is, and they're okay with that. Yeah, they're okay with that being who he is, but let's see. Keep going on the list. Taylor Mays.
Yeah, just a guy.
Just a guy, you know, special teams, can't crack safety room.
Just a physical spec. You talk about a physical freak.
Yeah, can help you at linebacker if E-Man goes down or whatever. I mean,
three words, just a guy.
Just a guy, but I mean, 1 year deal maybe. Yeah, just like they gave him this past year is very possible. Newman, we got into him.
Yep.
Newhouse will not be back. Mike Nugent. He should be back. I think the way he responded to the missed kick in Carolina is all you need to know
missed
about
one
Mike
kick
Nugent.
The rest of the way, and it was a 50-yarder in Pittsburgh. How many people make 50-yarders in Pittsburgh?
In December,
right.
Yeah, not many. So I got to credit Mike Nugent. I thought that was a pretty nice run. Cedric Pierman, he's valuable on special teams.
Yeah, they love
him. I'm sure they'll give
him
a year or two.
Your one
to
guy
come
doesn't
back.
Like him. Who's your one guy?
I got one guy.
Doesn't like him.
People,
he's the nicest
some
guy.
Some of you guys, I don't understand this. Your vendettas are so
bizarre.
So bizarre. So I get tweeted every game
Cedric
somebody
Pierman, here's the thing.
Who hates Cedric Pierman.
He is not a running back. He really and truly isn't.
Yeah.
What he is a special teams player. That's that's what he is in this league, and he plays that role pretty well.
Yeah.
Fans, it's hard to sometimes see what that role is, but it's a pretty value. He's the personal protector. Did he lead him in special teams tackles? I believe he did.
He did, yes.
Yeah, so
I get cut Pierman every game from a guy. I don't understand what the vendetta is against Cedric Pierman. He's not out there taking
God
carries
man.
From Rex Burkhead.
No, right.
You know, Rex is the next guy off. I mean, he's been the third running back pretty much all year. I mean, for the majority of them. They haven't. I mean, how many carries did Pierman even have?
Yeah. Garbage time,
three?
Five, seven,
maybe.
Whatever.
I think he'll be back, and he'll be at a reasonable price. Dane Sonsenbacher is probably going to go. I mean,
you can drop. Here's the word, probably.
Yeah. I mean, they hoped he would take over for Andrew Hawkins
and just
give
never
you
happened.
Something of what he could get, and he never quite could do.
He just honestly, and you saw him at times. I thought he's a pretty nice little receiver, but he's not physical in the run game. Unfortunately, he can't block. He couldn't block me.
He's
in the
had
run
problems
game.
Getting open in the slot.
And
that's supposed to be his thing.
Right.
It didn't quite happen.
Yep.
Alex Smith will be a free agent. Entering his 11th season, got hurt this year.
Right.
He'll probably walk. Brandon Tate. I know.
It's the guy who
I'm sorry. I know you all. I know the answer. I can hear you yelling.
Yeah. I can hear you yelling at us
through the camera.
Had a couple big punt returns late in the year.
You know?
They love him.
A 1 year deal for a guy who can fair catch and occasionally give you a punt return and be like a fifth receiver. God, he never gets open.
Never gets open. Just, what, do you have five targets yesterday?
Yeah.
Andy underthrew him a little bit. But
still.
And he kind of semi-dropped one. I still think it was a bad Andy throw.
Get open. I mean, just get open. Win a one-on-one.
Yeah, it doesn't happen.
It just doesn't happen with
I mean, the guy's been in the league 8 years, and he's never been a prominent wide.
No.
He's not even been a serviceable wide receiver.
We'll see. They may let him. This may be the year
they let him walk. Probably the best catch of the year, though.
You talk about a position you can draft. You can find a guy who can fair catch or be a punt returner. You can continue to send Pac-Man back there. Gio could return punts, and that's more viable now. He's not taking as many hits as a running back.
It's funny. There was a practice late in the year. Might have been Pittsburgh week where we saw Gio actually catching some punts.
Been back there
I guess I hadn't seen him a whole
in
lot.
In practice,
he
has been back catching punts regularly. I think he's just technically probably the third punt returner.
Yeah, right. I'm with you.
But Brandon Tate.
It's like the cockroach. You can't kill him.
Can't kill him. Eric Winston, he won't be back.
No.
He was just a little midseason plug. Devin Still, we talked about. Emmanuel Amira will be restricted, a restricted free agent, which is interesting in one respect. Will they learn from what happened to Andrew Hawkins last year? Because Emmanuel Amira, also a undrafted guy, so there would be no draft compensation that would be necessary.
Right.
And you'd be talking about a guy that maybe some...
What kind of qualifying offer? What kind of offer?
I mean, you're well, that's just it. Are you doing the lowest tender or the second round tender? Right. Because that's what happened with Andrew Hawkins was they should have given him the second round tender, right. and Cleveland never would have taken him. Yeah, he had his struggles.
He had his struggles. He was lost at times. But we go back to you were so thin at that position. You saw it once injuries took place. I got to find a way to bring him back.
Yo, I think they'll definitely bring him back. I mean, they'll tender him,
right.
One of the tenders. It's a matter of do they up it to the second level to make sure he doesn't leave and not get burnt again?
I think I would, because if we're talking about Maluga possibly walking, if he walks and Maluga walks, you're up against it that position.
Yeah, they wouldn't let both of them walk. A team would have to come in and steal him from
right.
them. I don't know. You got to judge his market value.
Well, that's
how much is his market value?
And the point you made is it was really his first year starting, and you saw this from him. Some good, some bad, some not so good, some lost. I just don't know if a team looks and goes, that guy. Now, he's athletically very, very gifted, no question about it. And maybe that is attractive enough, but I'm with you. I think you tender him that second level and you get him back here.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the market would be for Lemire. I don't know how many people would really be chasing after him. Maybe some would. He's the new school hybrid type.
Right.
But I don't know that he showed enough this year that teams would be dying.
Right.
Where teams would make an offer that the Bengals wouldn't be willing to match.
Right.
So maybe they roll the dice again, and who knows? Maybe it backfires on him again. All right. So I think that about does it. We've covered quite a bit, covered a lot of ground. We got no game to look forward to.
Nope, none.
We got a whole off season.
You know what we have to look forward to
distress.
On Saturday and Sunday? You know what we have to look forward to? The couch.
Oh yeah, the couch. It's finally over for us, at least the in season run, which is just an absolute grind.
Oh, but the off season. Is there anything more fun than the off season, Paul?
Yes.
Okay.
If you want me to really go down a whole list.
That was rhetorical.
The off season is just it is brutal. But make sure everybody, podcasts will continue to come to you throughout the off season. Obviously it won't be once, twice a week, as they have been. You know, we've brought to you weekly here during the season. It won't be as regular, but definitely gonna keep bringing the podcast, keep you updated on everything that goes on. There will be plenty going on over the next few weeks. You're going to have issues. What's going to happen with the coaching staff?
Yeah, I mean, that could be a huge.
Not just Marvin, who you guys will talk about, but
right, some
the staff
go.
Underneath them. Will
yeah.
staff go? What will happen with Hugh Jackson? The scene that will go down to the Senior Bowl. We'll learn more from that down there.
Combine.
The combine.
Nothing better than combine.
The worst. It's the worst.
It's the worst.
Absolute worst.
And the great part is, you know what's funny? Fans loved that for a period of time. I think everybody then came to learn the combine is kind of
stupid.
A waste of time. Yep.
It's stupid.
Yep.
It's the dumbest thing that pretty much there's already tape on these guys.
Do you know what it's become? It's now become a place for the NFL Network to have something to show.
Yep.
That's what it is.
It's exactly what it is. That's why the NFL Network turning free agency into what it's become
is
the same thing. It's
no
all
question.
About getting the TV money and ramping it up because it's a year-round
sport. Year-round sport.
It's working for them.
Yep.
I'll credit them on that. So we'll continue. I'll have everything for you all throughout the off season, and so we'll keep a date on that. And then next year we'll come back and do it all over again.
Should
you
be
know?
A heck of a thing, Paul.
It should be a heck of a thing. I'm looking forward to it. But let us know what you like and what you don't like to the few of you that are still watching and listening. Maybe our diehards.
We got the podcast will be up.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, the podcast will, of course, will be posted up. You can always listen on iTunes. It's good for your workout. We try not to ruin your workout.
Do we need pet tricks
good
during this, maybe, or something?
Pet tricks?
Yeah, stupid pet tricks.
Yeah, we can go with something. I mean, just let us know what you want more of, what you want less of, what you liked, what you didn't like. Let us know.
I like the camera phone previews we did. I thought those were awesome.
I thought they were awesome, too. We were the best at working.
No question.
We were the best at working camera phones.
Let me just tell a quick inside story. You and I, the one we did before the playoff game last week,
yes.
We went into kind of the press conference room to do our preview.
Mm-hmm.
And ESPN was set up. They were going to do a live hit at like 4:30-ish. This was about, 4 o'clock or
yep.
so. Great part was they are all professionally set up, and there we are trying to balance our little camera phone
yep.
on a tripod.
Yep.
It was great.
It was great.
So high-tech.
Yeah, it was. And we did it. We did it. We're
did.
Excellent at bouncing. The best part is, though, the two guys sitting there for ESPN were just sitting there staring at us, where
could have held the iPhone.
You could have just held. Just held it.
Yeah.
Just for could've a second.
Nice. Yeah.
But that's okay. They're union. They don't have to do any work.
No, exactly.
No,
right.
There's no reason to
do
it.
They were on break.
They were on break. But yeah, anything you liked or disliked about the coverage, let us know, because we're always looking to improve it, get it better. I mean, this is my first year doing this thing full time for you guys, and you know, it was kind of an experiment at times. We tried a lot of different stuff. So let us know what you like, and we'll try to do more of it. And if you hated something, let me know, and
I'll
try to do.
I think we need more tattoo stuff next year.
You know what? I loved the tattoo idea.
I'm just prodding you.
The tattoo of the week idea.
The great idea.
It was a great idea, and it worked out great.
Until we ran out of tattoos.
We ran out of tattoos, and it's really hard to get all your guys to show. There were some weird tattoos I found out guys had.
Yes.
There was somebody.
But some
had
of them didn't want to show them.
They did not. There were a couple guys with their school logos in inappropriate places.
Yep.
I believe. There was a cheeseburger that was somewhere.
I missed that
well.
One. Thank goodness. Yeah. Apparently, thank goodness I did.
But yeah, so
I don't even want to know how you found out about the cheeseburger, Paul.
I was told. Uh-huh. I was told about it. So in the course of trying to find new tattoos, you learn all kinds of interesting things about these guys.
Yep.
Some that you definitely did not want to know. We did our best.
Yes, we did.
We did our best. Yeah, of course, Beyond the Stripes is going to continue. It's been a great show. We've really enjoyed doing it, and it was a fun year at Beyond the Stripes this year. Favorite BTS moment? You have one?
It just got out of control.
People
slamming cold cuts down on the floor. It got out of control.
The carnage afterwards of just turkey and
meat
lettuce.
Everywhere in
meat
the morning.
All over the place on the ground.
The Lager House is a very nice place. It's a little more upscale. And yeah. There is just deli meat everywhere.
Just tossed. Just everywhere.
Might have even been one that somebody threw on the ceiling for all I remember.
It was everywhere. And then, of course, the greatest line of BTS all season was when I just wanted Icky, after just, all these people had done the show.
One request.
One time, just could you please just do this one Icky shuffle as we go out, look down at his phone and said, woo!
Just can't do it.
Can't do it.
That one in George Iloka throwing a couple good words out there. That was fun.
I would say the Iloka improv and faces.
Oh, that was good because he
was
pulled off
my favorite segment.
Yeah, he pulled
of
off
the season.
Justin Bieber, Kobe Bryant, Kim Kardashian.
Kim Kardashian.
He was great.
Him doing the Kim Kardashian.
And the best
voice.
Part, he had no idea you were doing
no,
that.
No, we pretty
he
much sprung
he
it
did
on
it right
him.
On the fly.
Yeah, that was off the top of his head. Yep. That dude is a star in the making.
No question.
Hollywood.
Yeah.
He should. I mean, him and TMZ are tight. They could probably get him a job.
There you go.
He could be a Hollywood guy. So, yeah, so love. If you've never been down to BTS, I got to tell you, you're missing out. It's a lot of fun. We hang out afterwards. You get a chance. It's a very good one-on-one with the player get an interview, a picture. They're always very gracious. We have a ton of fun with it. You never know when you're going to end up involved.
Maybe being a part of it. Yeah.
Maybe being a part of it. If he was slamming some cold cuts on the ground or God knows what. So if you ever, you know, next year, you know, you'll always know where it's at. We're going to keep doing it and keep coming down and checking that out. Well, on that note, we should go out. You know, so the only question is, How do we go out to end the season? I think I've got it.
All right.
And this is kind of off the top of the head, but I think this one is good. Because I like them, and maybe not a lot of people do, but I do because I'm a sucker for old school 90s R&B. I got to go with Boyz II Men.
Wow.
It's the end of the road.
I like it.
It's time. We've come to the end of the road here for the in-season podcast. So I think what we'll do is, for those of you listening to this recorded...
And the great part is, it's the first time you chose a song to end the podcast all year, Paul.
That is not true.
That is true, but that's all right.
That is completely false.
Okay.
Don't make me go back through all of them and expose you.
All right, maybe you chose two.
I chose a number of songs.
Three. Tops. Tops.
Well, I'm not going to go back and do it now.
But
so
you're
we're
choosing
not
this one.
I'm choosing this one. You're just trying to point out that I've chosen this Boyz II Men song. That you
yes,
want
indeed.
To make sure you're known that you have zero part
zero,
in any.
Yep, zero. But
we've come to the end of the road, so end of the in-season podcast. Skinny, it's been a blast.
Yep.
Thank you very much, sir, for doing it. That was all terrible.
On,
terrible. We're going to dap it?
Yeah.
All right, yeah.
I'll shake your hand. Yeah. See, I'm old school. I was trying to go more your
yeah,
your,
my generation.
Yeah. Everybody in your generation dapped.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, the old man, the old skinny moment was never involved any hand pounds or anything like that.
No,
straight firm handshake. Well, I appreciate it. It's been a blast doing it with you, and I'm looking forward to everything that goes on in the offseason now. So we'll do that, and we'll let Boyz II Men take you out the rest of the way. Thanks, everybody, for listening this year. Unscribe Session. Talk to you later.
enough.